Last time we had Chabura, we were exploring the sugya of Pnimi v'Chitzon in the middle of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and that, as we saw, was a further detail into the very yeshitos and applications of the very important din of Pesach Pasuach. After that, the Gemara goes on to spend close to an Amud on Agadata. I think I may have mentioned in the past the comment of Rav Kook, the same name of Cook, that just like most, in any given Masechta, the bulk of the halachic Gemaras relate to the topic of the Masechta, and almost every Masechta. Most of Erevin is about Erevin, and most of Pesachim is about Pesach, and most of Bava Kamma is about Nezer. Obviously, there are other topics that come in tangentially, but the majority, in most Masechtas, the vast majority of the halachic gemaras are about the official topic of the Masechta. They say in the name of Cook that he felt that was the case with Agadatas also, that the bulk of the Agadatas in any given Masechta are related to the theme of that Masechta. That's why that's the first parak of Brachos is very Agadata rich, and you notice that a lot of those Agadatas have to do with the Ikari Emunah, which is not surprising, given that the halachic topic, the first three parakim of brachas, is Kriyat Shema, which essentially is a mitzvah to articulate our Ikari Emunah on a daily basis, on a twice daily basis. So it's not surprising that the Agadot is about Ikari Emunah, about Tzadik V'Ra'lo, about Kadosh Baruch Hu's Tefillin, and so on and so forth. There's such a richness of those there. So certainly here, the connection between the Agadatas, if you had a chance to see the Agadatas, the connection between the Agadatas and the Halacha is very, very strong and very, very tight. The Agadatas here are primarily about Taivas Bia, and noticing that, and Yichud in particular. The Rambam always closes every Sefer of the Mishnah Torah with Agadata, and many other ends of topics also, even if it's not the end of the Sefer, you often will close with Agada that frames and sort of highlights the themes of a given area of Halacha. At the end of Hilchas Yichud is the last parak in Hilchas Yisurei Bia. So he closes with the Agada that in many ways reflects and reiterates the themes of these Agadas here. And the Rambam's Agada at the end of Perichav Beis of Yisur Abiyah in turn is quoted in part in the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Simen Chav Hei, and in part Simen Chav Gimel Se'if Gimel. Recognizing the power and the force of the Yetzer in general, Yetzer for sexuality in particular, not to make the mistake of thinking that it's an insignificant taiva, and recognizing that the siyagim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and siyagim that Chazal added are powerful tools to address taiva, and that those are themes that are captured by the whole series of Agadotis here. I would highlight in particular the story of Rav Amram, as well as the aftermath of the Rav Amram story. The story of Rav Amram, the Gemara tells the story of Rav Amram, a yichud mishap, a yichud failure, or a yichud almost failure. Rav Amram, the Gemara says, was very, very, very great tzaddik. So when they ransomed, Jewish women who had been taken captive by pirates from some other part of the world, and they were brought to Rav Amram's town, must have been a coastal town, and the Jewish community ransomed these women, and now that they bought their freedom, now they have to figure out how to get them back to wherever they live. In the meanwhile, they need somewhere to stay temporarily. The Gemara says they put them in the second floor of Rav Amram's home. This point of the technology of Bavel had already come up in the context of Baal Abiyah and Pesach Pasuach. They had typically the second floor of a house was connected to the first floor, not by built-in stairs where we have it, by movable ladders, and those ladders are sometimes very heavy. So the Gemara says they put all this whole group of women, the Shvuyasa, these Shvuyos, and they were going to stay temporarily in the second floor of Amram's home. And there was a very, very heavy ladder that took many people to carry it. So they moved. After they were upstairs, they moved the ladder away, and that there was no Esir Yichud because Rav Amram had no way to get upstairs because he couldn't have moved the ladder himself. Now, the Gemara says that after the women are settled upstairs, Rav Amram is passing by the first floor, passing by that opening, that skylight to the second floor, notices one of the women, and he's so smitten by taiva, by passion for that woman, that it sounds like an incredible burst of adrenaline. Grabs a ladder that normally would take many people to carry, moves the ladder over by himself, and begins to climb the ladder. He's halfway up, and then the Gemara says he realizes, Gavala, what am I doing? What do I have to do? Well, I can't do this. And he wills himself not to go up, but he cannot will himself to go down. He's such a powerful visual metaphor. He's like literally caught between where he ought to be and where he wants to be, although the visuals, I guess, the metaphors are flipped, because where he belongs, Shamayim is calling him to go down, and Eretz is calling him to go up. And the Gemara says he's not physically able to get himself down. I mean, physically able, but he can't will himself to get down. So the Gemara says, he splays his legs against the sides of the ladder so he can keep himself in place, and then the only thing he can do is yell fire. He yells fire, everyone comes. It's the end of the Yichud problem. It's the end of the Saiva. Everyone walks in and realizes exactly what Rav Amram was about to do. Rav says his Talmidim are incredibly embarrassed. And he says, better you should be embarrassed to me here than to be embarrassed in the Al Naba. This is the right choice. This is the right choice. So that's the story itself, and then there's the aftermath. The story itself captures Mechad Gisa, Me'ituch Gisa. It captures Mechad Gisa, the Rav Amram's weakness, human weakness. He had a taiva like everyone else. And the Gemara goes on to tell stories of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, then a less well-known Chacham by the name of Plimo, who all thought that they thought little of people who gave into taiva. They thought it's silly, and then they learned that that taiva can get them too. Kol Gal Mechari Yitzur Gal Amenu. So that's on the one hand, Rav Amram was known as a great chassid, and he had a taiva too. And at the same time, you also see the incredible strength, unbelievable strength. Mamash, within his weakness was his strength. As even in the moment that he was so smitten, it's hard to imagine this, it's so smitten that he could not get himself down the ladder, even though he knew it was wrong. But he had the strength to realize, and he had the presence of mind to realize, the only thing, this is not a stable equilibrium. If he stays there much longer, he's not sure which way things are going to break. And the only way to solve the problem, once and for all, is to scream fire, to bring everyone in. And he had the koach to do that, even though it's... So just, the Gemara doesn't tell you about the aftermath, but you know, just imagine his reputation must have taken a bit of a battering, one imagines, after he was caught in such a incredibly compromising situation, but he said, I'd rather be embarrassed here than be embarrassed on Lama. The clarity of prioritizing and of not making long-term decisions based on short-term considerations is incredibly inspiring, incredibly, incredibly, incredibly inspiring. And then the Gemara goes on to say, David Luria the Radal has a lot, in the back of the Gemara has a lot to say about these Gemara, a lot of very fascinating insights on the halachic sugyas, and the halachic sugyas, a lot of what he says is chazering over what the poskim say in Shulchan Aruch. And Agadot is a lot of fascinating ha'aris. Halachic sugyas is a lot of fascinating ha'aris too. Just they're ready. If you learn Shulchan Aruch, you already see them in earlier sources. Afterwards, the Gemara says the Gemara doesn't tell us what would have Amram's, you know, how Rav Amram's reputation went with people. The Gemara does talk about this conversation he has with his Yetzirah. Gemara says he makes the Yetzirah swear that it's going to leave him, and you see like a pillar of fire leaving him, and he says, "Chazida at nur v'nad bisra v'nad difna mina." See, you're fire, I'm mere flesh, and yet I'm stronger. I won. I got very close to losing, but I won. He pulled the Yosef. He got close to losing, but he won. So Radal says, well, this is Gaiva. funny. It seems like a funny coda to the story. So he says, no, 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 no. He says, we're not sure if he said this in front of Talmidim or not, but certainly if he didn't say it in front of live Talmidim, but at the very least the conversation was recorded for us, his Talmidim, through writing, to see. He said it wasn't a question of, he's bragging to the Yetzer Hara. Someone who's able to mashbia the Yetzer Hara and have his Yetzer Hara leave like a pillar of fire is clearly an enormous Baal Madrig. He says, no. The point was to teach us exactly this, that this is overcomable. You can be matzliach, even when there's a very strong taiva. There is, we have more capacity than we think. Chazidad nu'evan abizya. It feels like there's no contest. Meat versus fire, and yet you can't. I was matzliach, Rav says, and so can you. And then he, Radal goes on to say, I think he may have been a Volozhin or Talmud. He calls Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Volozhin. We're going to think maybe it's Rosh Hashiva. Says Nefesh HaChaim says that in the moment, the Nefesh HaChaim has a lot to say about intellectualism and thought. And one of the major themes of Nefesh HaChaim is the power of deep thought into learning. But he quotes Nefesh HaChaim, but at the moment that the Yetzer Hara is burning, that's not the moment to begin to have an intellectual debate. You don't debate your Yetzer Hara then. When the Yetzer Hara is burning, you get away. And that's probably what he's saying also. Chazida Anur Avana Bisra. It worked. It worked because I recognized you're fire. And it wasn't the moment to start handling. He just had to, take a definite, decisive action, which he did. He realized that the moment called for extreme measures. And he yelled fire. I think Maral says it was fire. Just wasn't a physical fire. It was a fire as taiva, which is, I think Gemara describes it. Chazida Nura. But he realized he had to take this, he had to get out of the situation. And he couldn't physically get out of it. You'd normally say, just run away. Just don't be there, get out of the situation. It's a difficult situation. He couldn't move himself, so he had to bring the new situation to him because he couldn't get outside. He had to bring the outside in. Radal also points out, those next couple of Gemaras I mentioned, Reb Meir, Rabbi Akiva, Plimo, the Gemara describes that there's an unusual attack on them by the Yetzer Hara after they sort of trash talk. They were Meslotzish, Rabbi Akiva and Meir, they used to make fun of the Ovri Avera, ridiculous. Plimo had language that he used, Gira Beinu de Satan, an arrow in the eye of the Satan, it's sort of like trash talking the Satan. So l'chora, part of the limud of the Gemara, is you shouldn't ask for trouble. You shouldn't make light. As Reb Meir of Kiva, the Gemara describes, there would be mislotates. It's ridiculous that people give them to the taiva. You have to realize it is ridiculous. It's a terrible idea, and in the long run it's absurd, but we shouldn't think that taiva is not powerful. And then specifically with Plimo, the Gemara says that the Satan, the Gemara describes the conversation where he says to the Satan says to him, why are you talking like that? After he almost falls in, the Satan reveals himself, and then he says to Plimo, why are you talking like that? Gira ve'in to the Satan. So he says, well, what should I say? He said, you should have said, Rachamana ligere b'Satan. Don't say, I'm tossing an arrow, a thorn in the eye of Satan. You should say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should start up with the Satan. It could be what that's capturing is an idea that Mesillas Yesharim has at the very end of Perek Beis. He says, based on Gemara and Markatan, that success with the Yetzer Hara requires two critical elements, each of which is critical and crucial. We have to take the first step. Without seeking to work on it, we're not going to succeed. But at the same time, our hishtablis is necessary but not sufficient. He says the Gemara and Maikatan, based on the Pasuk and Tilm, Perek Nun, I think, identifies what the Mesillas Yesharim understands is the first major step in methodical growth as an Eved Hashem, and that is living with Cheshbon, both making decisions based from a place of Cheshbon, thinking through my options and thinking through what's really important, what really matters, and also taking a time to retrospectively make cheshbon nefesh. So the Ramchal develops at length. That's the first, living with Cheshbon, living an examined life, that's the first step. The first rung in the ladder of organized, methodical, ambitious growth in Avodas Hashem. So one of his rights, he quotes a Gemara in Maikatan, I think Daf Hey maybe, based on Tehillim Daf Nun. V'sham Dekar discusses V'sham Derech, the power of assessing one's paths, of living with Cheshbon. But he points out, the Gemara doesn't say, says, Kamal Shamar Chosabar, is there someone who assesses his paths, he's a Ben Olam Haba, or he's a Tzadik, huh? The Gemara says specifically, he'll be based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, such a person who took the first step, Zochah V'Yiroi V'Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be Zochah to see Yeshua Hashem. Well, why dafka that? Oftentimes, you know, the Ramchal points out, one doesn't learn Agadah seriously, you say, whatever, okay, it's a good thing. He says, that's not the way you learn a Gemara. There are a lot of ways to say it's a good thing. Why dafka Zochah V'Yiroi V'Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, now the Gemara is telling you two things. The Gemara is saying, number one, the critical first step that I have to take is to live with Cheshbon. But number two, that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. My Hashalos alone, so the Yitzhar is very powerful. My Hashalos alone is not going to be adequate. If I need Siyata Deshmaya, if I do my Hashalos, then I will be Zochet that can evoke a Siyata Deshmaya that will bring me home, that will do the trick. So that's why it's that the Yerushalmi is Dafka, that the Agarata is Dafka. If I took the first step, so then Zochah V'Rabbi Shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not time Yeshua Hashem unrelatedly. I'll be Zochah to see Yeshua Hashem in the spiritual challenge in which I'm working. So that L'chora, I think, is also reflected here. That's probably what the Gemara is saying. Yitzhar says, you shouldn't say Girbein Nisatan, you should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help me. I mean, I should recognize, yes, it's good that you're back talking to Yitzhar. And probably developing the confidence that I can overcome. But to think that I'm going to do it myself, that's setting yourself up for failure. To say that I need to work on it, and that without Kadosh Baruch Hu's Siyat Deshmaya can succeed, that's a more accurate and productive message. He also pointed, Radal points out something else from these subsequent Gemaras, which is you see the way these Chachamim, specifically Rabbi Meir, responded. Because the Gemara goes on to say later, the second half of Payoff and Bez, the Gemara gets into the Halachic Gemaras. The first Halachic Gemara we had already dealt with a while ago, the Sugya of Achoso. The Gemara discusses, is there a Heter, Imo, Bito, is there a Heter with Achoso? The Gemara had mentioned there were Tanom and Amaram, who were machmir above and beyond the normal rules. Tosis says, the only Tosis in Payoff and Beis, you don't have to give the Raskol, the Tosis in Payoff and Beis points out that those Tanam and Amaram, the Gemara is quoting the bottom of Payoff and Beis, those were, they were be machmir on themselves, these are Midas Hasidus. One of them is Remeir. Remeir is one of the ones who refused to be misyached, I think, with his daughter. Certainly mutter. He's zaru b'pnei biti. Okay, certainly mutter. That's what Tosim say. It wasn't that he held, not that Remeir disagreed with the Mishnah. Remeir agreed that there's no siyach between father and daughter. He introduced chumras for himself. So that may have been in response. One wonders, and that's what the Radal suggests. That was in response to the episode that the Gemara describes in these Agadas, the Payoff and Ralph. One of them is about Remeir. He recognized that he had been a little bit spiritually cocky and oversure of himself. So he decided to go a little bit to the other extreme and introduce added chumras. A lot of powerful ideas. A reference also, this is not so much, you have to think about, it may or may not be so much of a yichud issue. The last of the Agadas brings us in the story of Chiya Bar Ashi. This comes up seemingly derech agav, though things are usually not coincidental. The Gemara raises a general hashkafic point about mitzvahs and about averus, which is the Gemara has it in Maseches Nazir as well. The Gemara derives from Pesukim beginning of Matos that if I did an act which was actually unbeknownst to me mutter, but I thought it was aser. Not stam, I was dreaming of doing it. Stam, I'm machshava ra, in a kadosh baruch hu mitzar for the maisa. But it wasn't just I was thinking I would like to do an avera. I actually did something thinking it was an avera. Not just a guy who was dreaming of having a cheeseburger. He actually ate the cheeseburger. Except afterwards he finds out there was actually beyond. It was part of a meat, it was part of a cheese. But at the time he thought that he was mamish chowing down on a bas mechav. So the Gemara says that also requires kapara. Not to the same extent as if it was actually a bas mechav, but you acted, you were doing an act, albeit a permitted act, but you were acting on a machshava ra that requires a degree of kapara. The Gemara tells a very unusual story of Chibar Ashi. He didn't realize it was his wife. He thought that he was sinning. So afterwards she says to him, well, why do you feel the need to do tshuva? And he explains to her, no, because that's this idea. The fellow was eating something kosher, but he thought it was treif. So that also requires some degree of kapar. So that's a powerful idea b'chol, the role that machshava plays. A lot to, and again, as I said, the Rambam quotes a lot of this. At the end of this parak of Beis of Hilchos Surah Biyah, some of the Rambam writes is quoted in Shulchan Aruch beginning of Simen Chaf Hei, some is quoted in Simen Chaf Gimel, Se'if Gimel. To recognize the power of the Yetzer Hara, and to recognize that the siyagim that we have are meaningful, and to recognize that we do have the power if we act, if we take the right precautions, we do have the power to overcome even really, really challenging assumptions. Now let's turn our attention to some of the halachic gemaras here. They said the first halachic sugya on Pe'af Mabez we dealt with already. That was the discussion about Achoso. Right before the second set of two dots is a fresh piece of gemara that we have not yet seen. A gemara that presents, in theory, six different added heterim to Yichud that we have not yet come across. As we'll see, it was really two categories, because the first five belong to one category, and then case number six is a separate category. Amar Rava. Rava is, in a sense, commenting on the first Iser in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah back in Pe'am Beis had opened with the fact that not only is Yichud Aser, but it's even Aser when it's one man to women. Lo yisachid adam v'shtei nashim v'isha achas misyachedus v'shnei anashim. So Rava here comments, although he said in general, a man and two women is Aser, again, as we spoke about at the time, based on the opening sugya there, as the Chumash Harash writes, the Chacham Zadar writes, it looks like yichud, one-on-one yichud is Isdaraisa. Once you have three people, it's certainly mutim and hator, it's no longer b'seiser. And the Mishnah is saying that once you have a third person, male or female, it vastly reduces the risk of znos. But adding a second man, in other words, shnei anashim v'isha achas, reduces the risk of iser, of subsequent znos, even more than any second woman would. So either way, you're no longer in the deraisa zone. But any second woman doesn't get you out of the derabanan zone. It significantly reduces the risk, but not low enough that there should be no iser derabanan either. And a second man reduces the risk even more. At that point, it's not mutter min hator, it's even mutter midraban. So Rava says, well, the Mishnah told me that generally, adding a second woman to the situation, Reuven, Aliza, and Chagit, it might be mutter min hator, but still asr midrabanan. Aha, but in these six cases, if the second woman is one of these six, so then it's actually hetzer gamur. What are these six cases? Amar Rava. Like 12, 15 lines off the bottom of Payoff of Beis, shortly before those two dots. Amar Rava, the little letter Beis of the Mishpat and Mitzvah. Misyachei Adam, Mishtei Yevamos, Mishtei Tzaros, Isha Vachamosa, Isha, something missing here, Isha Bas Chamosa, Isha Bas Baila, then Isha Vitinoka, Shedaz, Tanbiya, Vemaseras, Atzanbiya. What are those six cases? So we'll leave aside the last case number six for now. Case number six is has to do with how old or how young that second woman is. If it's a girl, she might create more heter than she's a grown woman. But let's first look at these first five cases. Five different relationships. Shtei Yevamos, Shtei Tzaros. So number one, Shtei Tzaros are two co-wives. So Reuven cannot be alone with Aliza and Chagit if there's Tam two unrelated women. If Aliza and Chagit are Tzaros, they are both married to Shimon. Shimon's not by the ear. Shimon's on the other side of the world. But Aliza and Chagit are both married to the same man, so that I could be alone with those two women. Or Isha v'chamosa. Aliza and Chagit are mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Or Isha ubas chamosa. Isha ubas chamosa, your mother-in-law's daughter. Your mother-in-law's daughter is otherwise known as your sister-in-law. That's your wife's sister.
Your text says chamosa?
Yeah.
Mine has ubas bala.
Yes, because the Bach and the Gra, I see the Gra in the brackets and the Bach in the parentheses, they both point out that there's a missing phrase in this Gemara. How do we know the missing phrase? We'll get to very soon. So far we have the Tzaros, the co-wives. Isha v'chamosa is mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Isha v'bas chamosa is the sister-in-law. That's a woman and her husband's sister, her mother-in-law's daughter. Isha ubas bala, a woman and her husband's daughter, meaning a stepmother and a stepdaughter. And finally, we left out the first case. The first of these five relationships was shtei yevamos. Two yevamos means also sisters-in-law, but sisters-in-law with two men in between. Now, these are the wives of two brothers. The wives of two brothers. Whereas Isha Bas Chamosa was married to the other one's brother. So just one man in between. Sister-in-law with two men in between, sister-in-law with one man in between. So these five relationships, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, these five pairs of women, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, stepmother, stepdaughter, sisters-in-law, to two flavors of sisters-in-law, or the tsaros, the co-wives. So if a man is permitted, even midrabanan, to be alone with two women, if they are related in one of these five ways, where did this list come from? I said before, why is it so self-evident that there's the Bach and the Grub both knew there's a missing line? So the truth is, this list is a Mishnah. It's just not a Mishnah in Kiddushin. It's a Mishnah in Yevamos. Yevamos, the beginning of Yevamos, is about Yim v'Chalitza. Yevamos more broadly talks about the halachas of, I think you could say, Yevamos more broadly is about the halachas of Meis Baila, halachas of Amisa Sabal, of the husband's decease. The opening Mishnah in Kiddushin talks about three different Kinyan and Kiddushin, as well as Kesef Shtar and Bia, as well as two different ways in which a Kiddushin can be terminated, either through Get or through Misa Zabal. So Get, you have a whole Masechta Gittin, comes up elsewhere also. Yevamos, in many senses, I would say, is the Masechta of Misa Zabal. Now, Misa Zabal in a particular subset of cases, under particular circumstances, Misa Zabal triggers the need for Yim V'Chalitza. If the husband passes away with no descendants and he leaves behind the brother, so then the Psukim and Kisese tell us she can't just go ahead and marry whomever else. She first has to either be Misyabemis, marry the brother of her late husband, or receive Chalitza, perform the Chalitza ceremony with the brother of her late husband, with her Yavam. So that's the topic of the first number of Prakim of Masechet Yevamos. At the end of Yevamos, you have a number of prakim that deal with generally the dinim of Misa Zabal. Forget about even Chalitza. The husband passed away and he had children, or he has no brother. So the wife can go ahead and remarry. So what dinim do you need to discuss? So we need to discuss is, how do you know that Meis Baila? If there was a get, so there's going to be the physical get itself, or the Beis Din will issue her some other Beis Din document to replace the get. Plus, you can bring Edim, who were witness to the Gerishin. So the question is, how about Misa Zabal? So if a husband dies in his own bed, so then usually evidence won't be an issue. But let's say a husband disappeared, which is, unfortunately, has been on our minds particularly of late. So how do you even determine? How do you even do? What sort of evidence would you use to determine Misabal? Or let's talk about a somewhat less complex case. An aide comes and says, I was with your husband. And I know that he perished. So the Mishnayos have a chiddush. The Mishnayos have a chiddush. It appears in the Mishnayos in Yevamos. It appears also in Mishnayos Adios. Mishnayos have a chiddush that although generally in the world of Davar Sheba'erva, Gittin V'Kiddushin, you acquire two Eidim, in Davar Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayos, the Gemara derives from Gzeira Shava, that Davar Sheba'erva is one of the areas of Halacha where one Eid is not enough. We don't say Erechad Nem Bisur in the world Davar Sheba'erva, we say you require two Eidim. So although Gittin V'Kiddushin requires two Eidim, for some reason the Mishnayos tell us that Mises Habal, for Mises Habal, one aid suffices. Masina Seishal Pi Eid Achad. A single aid comes and says, I regret to tell you that I know that your husband is no longer alive. So she's permitted, when she's ready, she's permitted to remarry based on the testimony of a single aid. Not only that, but the Mishnayos say, the Tanam tell us, it does that aid could be male, could be female. We have liberties in terms of the Eidos of Meis Baila above and beyond what you have in the rest of Davar Sheba'erva. Why that is a good question. We certainly don't have time for that now. That's a fascinating sugya, particularly at the beginning of the 10th paragraph of Yevamos. Is that Daraisa Drabanan, how that works? The Lamaisa, that is the din. That a single man or a single woman is Eid Echad is Naman to say Meis Baila, with very few exceptions. These are among the few exceptions. The Mishnah says that if you have a married woman, her husband went on a business trip, he took a boat to India, and it's been a year, we don't know what the story is. A man shows up, a woman shows up and says, I regret to tell you, I know that your husband has passed away. Normally she can remarry based on the testimony, but not if the woman who's telling her this is one of these five women. If her own mother-in-law, or her own daughter-in-law, her own, her stepmother, her stepdaughter, her sister-in-law, her co-wife says, you know, your husband passed away, you can remarry, basically say, no. No. Why? Because, as Chazal referred to these five relationships as the Chamesh Nashim Shesonos Zoazo. Not a pleasant term. I think the accurate way to translate it is there are five sets of women where there's a heightened possibility of hatred, or at least of negative feeling, the heightened possibility of antipathy. Between any two random people who know each other, there's always a possibility of sinna. But these relationships are more likely to generate the negative feelings. We're not saying that there's always antipathy. Baruch Hashem, Einu Haros, wonderful relationships between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. It's even wonderful relationships between step-parents and step-children. It can be done well, but again, in Hilchos Yichud, we've been thinking a lot about risk management and probabilities. There's a greater probability than in the general population that of sinna within these relationships. So that's why. So that's it's a chumrah in the world of Masechet Yevamos that we would not accept the testimony of one of these women because we're worried that maybe it's not actually true and she's just saying this to trip this. Well, she wants to ruin this. Well, maybe she wants to ruin this woman. So she's telling her your husband passed away so that this woman's going to go ahead and remarry. And then the husband shows up and then obviously that's emotionally, it's hard to imagine how challenging it is emotionally. And Al-Pidin also. Mishnah says, beginning of the 10th paragraph of Yevamos, she can't return to the first husband, she can't stay with the second husband. Financially, she loses the ksuba, but a whole host of penalties. It's a horrible situation on every conceivable level. So the Mishnah says, we don't accept the testimony of one of these Chamesh Nashim, Shesonos Zoazo, because we're worried that she's lying, and she's just saying it in order to mess up the supposed widow. So here too, lahakel, we say that there's no iser yichud because normally shtei nashim, ishach v'shtei nashim, as Rashi said, there is a chance, not an amazing chance, but a slight chance, slightly more than the threshold for Isser Yichud, there's a slight chance that the one man will convince both his women to be Mizana. If they're both participants, they won't be as secure. Neither one will spill the beans about the other one. Or Ritva says, if they're not both participating, but there's a chance, there's a significant chance that they won't share information about the other. But over here, man would be incredibly hesitant to do that, because for all he knows, there's bad blood between the two women, and either woman would be glad to have the opportunity to spread this type of schmutz about the other one. So because of the risk of sinna between these two women, so that is going to obviate any concern when it's a ish echad, and these two women is as little concern as two men and one woman, and it's mutter not only the yichud mutter not only in the Torah but midr abanan as well. One other critical point about the Chamash Nashim, there is an interesting discussion Rishonim in Yevamos about Yevamos, that case of the two women who are married to brothers. So most of those cases, Rashi starts explaining that there's all sorts of financial stress, and you're running away with our family. The mother-in-law may look at the daughter-in-law as the one who's, we work so hard to put all this fortune together. You married into the family. You're walking out for the money. And Rashi identifies most of these cases when people are small-minded, or when people are stressed and people not handling things well. So there could be kinna, there could be nakama, there could be all sorts of things. The shtei yevamos. So what's going on with the shtei yevamos? They're married to brothers. So Rashi and Tosas there say it's your potential tzaros. You're a heartbeat away from being married to the same guy. Because if either husband passes away, so the other husband does yibum, and boom, suddenly sisters-in-law became tzaros. So the fact that they're lingering over your hanging over your head, she's a potential tzara, that already, can create antipathy. Now the Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam doesn't give any explanation. Rambam just gives a list. So the Mishnah Lamelech, maybe indications also, Rambam thinks it's not the reason. So the Mishnah Lamelech has a long Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam, Hilchas Gerushin. So he says, I don't know, what's it all about? Is it indeed because, maybe we'll become tzaros? Is that a case where they're not going to become tzaros? How about they each have a bunch of kids? Reuven has 5 kids, Shimon has 10 kids. And in what are the chances? Rahman al-Salan, all the children pass away, and then the husband passed away. It was sort of terrible, Magefa. I'm like, well, what are the chances? So, to have a pretty macabre mind to really worry about becoming tzaros. So the Mishnah Malach isn't sure. So maybe in that case, in a Hanami, then there's no din of, then shtei yevamos are nothing special. They're just like two regular women. Or maybe not. Maybe lo plug. So the Otzar Poskim quotes Eben Ezra, b'shem the Shuvas Beis Ephraim. He says, well, how would lo plug play out by Yichud? So by yevamos, it's a chumra. So lo plug, maybe lo chumra, we're machmer anyways, even if the reason doesn't apply. But how by Yichud? So if we know that there's no chance, we know that these two women each have a bunch of kids, so they're not potential tzaros. So then Lachari should say, by Yichud, we should be machmir. However, I would argue not. The Chachmas Adam, Shulchan Aruch, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Yosef Yud, so he quotes the whole list of all the 5 women. Look in the Chachmas Adam, he only quotes 4 women. He leaves out tzaros. Why? Because he's writing halacha for Ashkenazim, and since Rabbeinu Gershom's days, we Ashkenazim don't have tzaros. And yet, he still includes yevamos, even though, number one, Ashkenazim don't have tzaros, so And number two, Ashkenazim don't practice Yibum. So for two reasons, there's no chance. A lot of kids, few kids or no kids, there's no chance for an Ashkenazi that the sisters-in-law are going to become tzaros. And yet, the Chachmazadim, who updated his list for Ashkenazim and left out tzaros, still includes Yivamo. So that L'chaora indicates that even in the world of Yichud, we say this even L'hakil, perhaps because the Rambam or others would not accept Rashi and Tosis's take that's all that Yevamos is all about Tzaros, and they say no, it's a family relationship. It's sort of like you're buying into the sibling rivalry through Ishtar Kugufo, and it's nothing to do with the chance of becoming Tzaros, the chance of Yibum. So that's the discussion. Some of the discussion about the Chamish Nashim. Maybe next time we'll begin with Tinokas, and maybe we'll talk about three points in Tinokas. Number one is the question of to what extent is this a riot to the general issue of Shomeres, which I think we touched on already earlier on. Number two is a Maharshal that many poskim quote that Tinokas does not work by Derech, and that requires explanation. The Taz doesn't like it. You have to figure out what that means. And number three is that there's a stira between Sif Yod, the din of Tinokas, and Sif Yod Aleph, where they're also quoting the Rambam. He says that there's Yichud as soon as a girl is three, as soon as a boy is nine. Girl is three is way younger than Tinokas, and yet somehow, so that seems like a very, very strong stira. The Bach has one teretz, and there may be another teretz as well, that will bring us back to some of the core issues in Hilchos Yichud. Tinokas is very rich, and we'll begin with that next week.